It's good to see you guys. Wonderful indeed. Boy, he about got me winded on that last one. Yeah, I did a couple of times. I had to swallow. Let me turn this thing on. Our title this morning, I'm turning first of all to John chapter 3. So if you'll meet me there, John chapter 3. Reading verses 1 through 21. John chapter 3. My title this morning is simply Born of God. Born of God. Everybody that God saves is born again. Born a second time. Born spiritually. Spiritual birth. All right, let's begin in chapter 3 of John with this first verse. And before we begin to read, may we pray. Lord, thank you for letting us gather in this place today. Thank you for these that you have brought. But if we're the only ones that are here, nothing will take place of any value. Lord, unless you come and speak to our poor souls the words of life, namely, the words of Christ and Him crucified. Then our hearts are blessed, but not until then. As we turn now to read your holy word, Lord, I pray that you would give us grace and mercy to do so. That we read what our Bibles really teach us and not some thought that we have gathered somewhere else, but what we find written in this book. Lord, come into our midst, we pray. We do not deserve your presence. We beg it entirely on the merit and blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Help us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Verse 1, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that is, a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. The same came to Jesus by night. It seems to me that he would not dare to have made this visit in the daytime. Some of his fellow Sanhedrins might have found out about it, and he might no longer be in that body, which he eventually was expelled anyway. A ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And it's a lot bigger than God be with him. God is him. Christ is God. For no man can do these miracles which you do, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, now here's where the subject of the new birth is addressed to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or amen, amen, I say unto you, except a man be born again, that is a second time, a spiritual birth, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is invisible to him without the new birth. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, now here's this brilliant man who has no clue as to being born again. Nicodemus said to the Lord Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This man was noted as a teacher among the Israelites. But if he's never entered God's kingdom, he ain't fit to teach a dog, let alone lost sinners. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell from where it comes or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a master, that is a master teacher of Israel, and know not these things? Amen, amen, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now, do you catch on to what he said? The Lord Jesus is telling him, I'm in heaven. And he says, I'm on earth, and I'm in both places at the same time. This is nothing less than God being present everywhere. And in order for Christ to make this statement about himself, he is declaring himself to be God. God in heaven and God on earth. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen. Believing Christ is the result of being born again It is not the cause. You understand? You cannot come to Christ until God, by a miracle of His grace, raises us from the dead spiritually. We have to declare all the accomplishments we've had over the years in regular religion to be nothing but garbage, not worth a hill of beans. Wasted all our time and talents and money and all this other stuff, and it's just down the toilet. What verse was I on? Oh, I'm looking on the wrong page. And let's see here. Yeah, here we go. Excuse me. We finished verse 16. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, God is under no delusion about saving all the sons and daughters of Adam's race. You and I don't know who His people are, who Christ's sheep are, who His bride is. We don't know these things, but we know how to find them out. You preach Christ and Him crucified, and the sheep will come to Christ, and the goats will take exception with what you say. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. A whole world of sinners. But not talking about all the people that live or have lived on the face of this earth. He that believes on Him, he that believes on Christ is not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So is every one that does evil. For every one that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, we're not talking about these lights. We're talking about the light of the world, the Lord Jesus. Verse 21. But he that does truth, he that doeth truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or worked in God. What a wonderful, wonderful statement indeed. Now, I need you to do a little shifting, if you don't mind. While we're right here in John, I want you to put a marker at the first chapter of John, the beginning of John's Gospel. And when you've accomplished that difficult feat, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 9. And here I should like to read verses 1 through 24. We may have to speed up a little bit, but maybe we'll make it. Romans 9. 1 through 24. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. This is Paul referring to himself. For I could wish, didn't say that he did, but he said I could. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, namely the Jews, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the prophets, the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Christ, who is over all God. God over all. Blessed forever. Amen. Verse 6. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now the Bible does promise us that in glory, the Lord Jesus shall have a people from every tribe, tongue, and kindred on the face of this earth. Now let's look at this verse in the light of that. Who are Israelites? Let me jump a verse, verse 5. Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all God, blessed forever. Now here's my verse, 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel. All Israelites are not sheep of Christ. Let's read this again. Starting in the middle of verse 6. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Let's bring that forward to where we are here in America. Let's read it like this. For they're not all Americans. I'm talking about the Americans that God saves. This county in which we live is predominantly unbelievers. I don't care what their religious persuasion. They don't know the God of the Bible. They don't know the Christ of this Bible. They're not all Americans which are of America. You understand that now? That's pretty simple. Verse 7. Neither because they're the seed of Abraham. And if you're familiar with John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus ran into numerous persons in that one Gospel alone, and they took refuge in the fact that they're descendants of Abraham and thought that would somehow make up for everything and God would receive them with open arms. Neither because they are seed of Abraham are they all children. Abraham had a lot of children, but only one by promise. But in Isaac shall your seed be called. Paul labors this point in the book of Galatians. You should be familiar with that. We've covered it many times. All right, verse 8. That is, this is explaining verse 7 and 6. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Oh, now there's Abraham's son. And he's also called Abraham's seed. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, and here's the rule, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said unto her, she had twins, the one that was born first, she says, the elder, by just a few minutes, or however long between the twins coming from her womb. I have no idea how long. What verse am I on? Oh, the elders shall serve. I'm looking too far ahead. Gosh. It was said unto her, the elders shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved. Now you know this other, the rest of that sentence ain't supposed to be in this book, don't you? Don't you know that? You're born believing that, but it ain't so. It's supposed to be here. It's here because God put it here. And ain't nothing hard for Him to do. He can take jackasses and write this Bible, but He chose not to do so. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, if you want to argue, just keep on grinding your teeth and you won't have any after a while. I'm telling you, this is the gospel message. And Paul is pretty astute when you pick up what he says immediately following that, beginning at verse 14. He says, what are we going to say about this? I don't like it. By nature, we don't. We think God should save us on our merits. The only problem with that is we ain't got none. And I know that's good English, no matter where you come from. I could dress it up, but I don't think I should. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? For He said to Moses, I will have mercy and I'll have compassion on what people? On whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. Sounds like God's doing everything to me. For the Scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose, well, shucks, have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, here it is again, has God mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will, He hardens. You will say then unto me, why does God still find fault? For who has resisted His will? And the answer to that is nobody can resist His will. Nay, but O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and make His power known, endures with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruution, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had before prepared unto glory. Even us, Paul speaking of himself and the Roman believers, even us whom He has called, not of the Jews only, thank God, but also of the Gentiles. All right, we go back now to chapter 1 in John. (Clears throat) What is our subject this morning having to do with the new birth? Being born of God spiritually. So here in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, we have a definitive statement in regard to this matter in verse 13 of John chapter 1. Here the new birth is described, which were born. It is a birth. Bringing into being what had no being. A birth. Which were born. Not of blood. It has nothing to do with my ancestry or yours. Has nothing to do with who our parents are, our grandparents, or whomever you wish to include in the family portrait. Not of blood. It doesn't come by blood. We cannot give our children the new birth. We can't even give ourselves the new birth. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. The natural man outside of Christ has no will to come to God in Christ alone, to whom belongs all the glory. So it's not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's not someone else willing me into salvation. Now, I know religion practices a lot of things that certainly tells you that they don't believe what this says. I mean, when they have revival meeting, they'll do everything in this world to try to get people to come. They drag you down the aisle, bring you to what they call, this ain't even an altar, but they sure call it one. I bet there's never been a blood sacrifice on what I'm standing. This is a pulpit. It's simply elevated so I can see all of you. You know, when I look out there. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. I don't care who the preacher is. He doesn't cut any ice with God. God saves whom He pleases. And the preacher's got no idea who that's going to be and who it isn't going to be. Therefore, being born again, see the three words that finish up verse 13, John chapter 1, but of God. Born of God. It's ever been that way. It is that way now, and it shall forever be this way. All right, let's see if we can make some progress now in regard to some things that we need to take a look at. First of all, the necessity of the new birth. If you just reflect a moment on Nicodemus and his conversation with Christ, it is pretty plain that our Lord did not give Nicodemus something to do. He didn't even give him something to believe. He said simply, you must be born again. And the man has no faculty to understand divine things because he wants to know if you can enter your mother's womb and be born a second time. No, you'd be born a sinner both times if you could. So nothing would be different. Let me read you a statement that we read. I'm not going to turn to it, so I don't think you can beat me there, but if you want to, Romans 9:23. It reads, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Surely, surely this wonder, this miracle of the new birth can be accomplished by none but the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now the question is, are we born again? Am I born again? Are you? You either are or you aren't. I either am or I'm not. Secondly, the power by which the new birth is accomplished. Surely we cannot forget those things in John 1:13 that we just covered explicitly. This has everything to do with this. Born not of blood. That is, not of Adam. Adam is the first man, and Christ is said to be in 1 Corinthians 15, the second man from heaven. Nor of the will of the flesh. And in Romans 9 again, verse 26, and it shall come to pass that the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now let me see if I can explain one little thing. It's like God is saying to all these bright-minded people that think they know everything, more than God for sure. He just sort of rubs their nose in it. He specializes in saving people that religion says can't be saved. Now get this. He saves the chief of sinners. If you don't believe it, ask the Apostle Paul. That old boy was dead set against the gospel, against Christ, against the whole religion of God and of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And our Lord conquered him as if it took nothing. Put him in the dust. Made him cry uncle. Nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Of God. Let me read you a couple of verses. First, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a newborn person, spiritually. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Then it tells us in I've already read you that one. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. This goes on to say, this statement now tells us something of the difficulty of making sons and daughters of Adam to making them sons of God and of Christ and of the Holy Spirit. So our Lord, you can write this down. It'd be worth, I don't think we'll have time to do the turning, but if you'll write this down, I challenge you to do this and look at this very carefully, because I know it doesn't sit too well with some people. I tried it out at a dinner table in a certain place one time, and when I got through describing it, the pastor's wife said, absolutely not. Not me. She claimed to be a believer, but she ain't never been this bad. Shoot, you might as well turn to it. I can't put it all into words. 2 Corinthians I'm sorry, I'm turning you the wrong way. Luke chapter 11. There we go. Luke chapter 11. And verses 20 through 22. Luke 11, verse 20. Now the Lord Jesus has been dealing with some of these hard-headed Jews that dogged His every step and followed Him everywhere He went and trying to find Him making a mistake. And, you know, they'd find one and find out in short order that they're the ones that made the mistake and not Him. But here it's pretty clear. Our Lord is casting out devils. Demons. Call it whatever you will. It's one and the same thing. The devil himself is a demon, and demons are devils. Verse 20. Our Lord has described in the preceding verses. He said, "But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." Now here's what that spells. If you're born again, if you're a believer, the Lord Jesus had to cast the devil out of you and me. And if you claim you ain't never been devil possessed, you still are. And so am I. If I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. And one of the reasons that people revolt at this, the minute you talk about being demon-possessed, you know, they think about killing people, robbing banks, and, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. I almost used a bad word. What people do in church this morning who are not worshiping the God whom we are preaching, that, my friend, is the greatest sin for which you and I can be held accountable. Verse 21. Luke 11, when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. Here it is. He that is not with me is against me. You cannot be neutral. There is no such thing. You either love Him or you hate Him. The same is true of me. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathers not with me scatters. Boy, I tell you, there's no room to get out from under that. These statements are so plain and so clear. It is amazing. Truly amazing. Born of God. Now then, this is dangerous, I understand, but I'm going to count on your memory. I'd rather count on yours than mine. Do you remember what chapter in our Bible, what book in our Bibles, the conversion, the new birth of Saul of Tarsus is? It's in the book of Acts. You remember the chapter. It's not far from the stoning of Stephen. It's in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And there are three words that the Lord uses to settle the nerves of Ananias, who is a resident of Damascus, where Saul is headed, and he's headed there to arrest people who profess Christ and who are followers of Him. And so the Lord has instructed Ananias to go rescue this man who cannot now see. He lost his sight in that encounter with Christ. So he comes to Damascus, and Ananias says, "Lord, we know exactly why this man is coming to our city. He's coming to arrest us and take us back to Jerusalem. And if he can, he'll also kill us there." And God uses three words to calm his fears. You remember what they were? The first word is behold. Behold. He prays. Now, Pharisees were noted for praying. And if you'd give a crowd of people, they could pray right on and on and on. But this is the first time this man's ever really prayed. Behold, he prays. And with some reluctance, I'm sure, Ananias went to where Saul is. And then at a later date, his name was changed to Paul. So, this is wonderful, wonderful indeed. If any man be in Christ, now try to picture this as to what we've looked at about the new birth. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. He's not the same person. Now, sad to say, when believers are brought to trust in Christ, we still got that other nature that we were born with. And there's a war going on in us until our dying day. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here's one of the first things you're going to notice. See if you can remember, those of you that are born again. We look at ourselves different from what we used to. We just used to think that, you know, we were pretty much better than anybody else we know. We put ourselves in the dust. We give all the glory to God. We have new desires concerning the Lord Jesus and His salvation. And we know for sure that our views of God have gone from being poor and sorry and no good to being the glorious God of heaven and earth. This God who makes all things, who rules all things. This God who's coming again. And, thank God for this, there is also given to those people whom God saves a new appetite. Now, I've had a new appetite now for, in a few months here, it'll be a year, won't it? Huh? And that kind ain't much fun. But this is. Can you figure out what it is? All we want to hear is Christ, Christ, and more Christ. And if we don't hear it, we're going someplace where we can. May the Lord help us.